Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, welcome back. It's Dave Player here on 720 WGN. So many of us made New Year's resolutions, especially the one about eating better and losing weight. So how do you maintain it and eat healthy every day? Well, Dr. Ian Smith is a best-selling author, including his new book, Mind Over Weight. He's been on the President's Council on Fitness and Sports and Nutrition. He's currently the host of the Emmy Award-winning syndicated TV series, The Doctors, and host of the nationally syndicated radio show, Health Watch. He's also has a new novel put out called The Unspoken. And Dr. Ian joins us on the Team Hochberg phone line. Happy New Year, Dr. Ian.
Hey, Dave. Happy New Year. It's good to talk to you.
You know, nearly a decade-old tradition. I think when I was doing overnights, I think it was New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, you came in at like 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning and hung out for a couple hours on air and answered listener calls. And, you know, now I know you're big time. I got to talk to your people now. But, you know, I appreciate you taking the time and coming on.
I'm the same old guy, man. Same old guy. Trying to do the work.
I like it. Before we jump in, I want to talk about the COVID-19 vaccines a little bit. You know, the rollout to the American public, it just seems a bit sluggish. And there also appears to be very little communication going out to the public right now. It's a little bit unnerving, especially as you see the numbers go up and down every day.
Yeah, you know, the whole handling of the COVID epidemic, pandemic, has been such a travesty from the original announcement that it was a global pandemic, that it reached our shores, all the way to now, where you would think that after, you know, 10 months that we would get it down. It's just one, you know, error after another. It's, you know, lack of communication is a problem. There's no universal strategy. You know, it's just everyone's not on the same page. You know, they expected to do 20 million vaccinations by the end of December. They only did 4 million. So distribution's not great. When the states are getting them, the messages from the states to the local places, the hospitals and the clinics, that communication's not great. And by the way, people don't want to talk about this, but I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of people are declining the vaccine. And so one of the reasons why we don't have so many vaccinated, people are saying, no, thank you. I'm going to wait until, you know, more people have it. I understand people feeling that way, but people have to understand the longer we wait for vaccinations, it means the longer the virus is going to stay here. It means the longer we're going to live in the world we're living in, and things are going to be shut down or partially shut down. Schools won't come. The economy's not going to bounce back. Restaurants and bars will open. I mean, it really is an issue of people deciding, hey, guys, this is what our only savior is. It is the vaccine. The vaccine is it. I mean, we don't really have anything else that's going to stop us from transmitting this disease.
Well, I've been reading, too, in California, the healthcare workers that have been offered this, almost 25% to 30% decline taking it at that level, which surprises me, too. And the other thing is, too, we don't know really what the phases are. We know only a couple of phases right now. Like, number one, of course, is healthcare workers, and then long-term care residents in nursing homes and facilities. But then the second is first responders, people 75 and older, which makes sense. And then what? I just feel like where's it going after that?
Yeah, so the CDC has issued guidelines about how the vaccine should be distributed, but they are not mandates. And the head of HHS has said, these aren't mandates. These are guidelines we're giving you. States themselves can decide exactly how they want to, you know, distribute the vaccine to the different groups. And so basically, after the first two groups you mentioned, you then have essential workers beyond, you know, frontline workers. You have essential workers, you know, people who are just over the age of 65, and then you start dwindling down into the general public. But, you know, like I said, if you go to cdc.gov, you'll see what the groups are, but the states don't have to follow those groups in that particular order. They do have some autonomy when it comes to making these decisions.
Now, A listener texted in asking about if you can get it more than once. And I've heard varying things about this, but there's different strains out there. So I assume if you had it back in March, you had it back in July, whenever it is, you're still vulnerable to get it again, aren't you?
People have to be very clear about this. Just because you got COVID-19, it does not mean you are immune to it forever. You can absolutely get it again. On the doctors, we've had stories where people have gotten it within 3 months. So, yes, you can get it again. And the reason we believe you can get it again is because we are not sure that usually when you get infected by a virus like this, your body builds an immune system, your immune response to it has a memory. And so when you get presented with the virus again, your immune system is able to fight it off. We don't know how effective the antibodies are that you develop after your original exposure. It's obvious by some being reinfected pretty quickly that the antibody production may need to reach a certain level, that the virus may be tougher than we thought it was. I mean, there are all kinds of reasons why people are experiencing reinfection. So people need to realize just because you've been infected, you still need to wear masks, you still need to be safe, and you can be infected again. And even if you don't experience symptoms, okay, you can also transmit it to someone else, even if you don't experience symptoms. So if you get the vaccine, you may be covered by it, but you can still give it to somebody else because you can still carry the virus in your body.
And speaking of the vaccines now, you know, we still don't know, and people have to realize this, usually it takes years to put something like this together. We don't even know how long the vaccine really is going to take, right? I mean, it could be months, it could be a year. We don't know, right?
That is absolutely correct. The reason why vaccines take 6, 7, 8 years is not to develop the technology of the vaccine. It's to be able to have the studies after the vaccine is administered to answer all kinds of questions. For example, will the two shots be enough? Or will it be a case that your antibodies will decrease in amount and concentration and we got to give a booster shot down the road? We don't know that. If someone who has already had COVID, we're telling them they still need to get the vaccine. But we don't know if the vaccine is going to increase their antibody production more than what it was with the original exposure to the point that they don't need it. We don't know these things. And so this is why we're kind of learning on the fly. And any good and honest healthcare professional will say to the public, there are a lot of answers we don't know. We're trying to find out. But that does not mean that you shouldn't take the vaccine. The vaccine is not going to kill you. But COVID has a good shot of killing you. And so there really is no major downside to the vaccine. Yes, Dave, there's some side effects. About 10 to 15% of people will experience side effects, such as redness and pain at the injection site, muscle aches, fatigue, maybe some headaches, a little bit of a fever. These side effects typically go away after, 1.5 days. So when you do the cost-benefit analysis, it's much more important to be protected than to not take the vaccine and be totally unprotected.
So talking about a little bit of the confusion of all this, Mary's got a question coming from Oak Lawn. Mary, what's your question about being over 65, where to go for the vaccination?
Yeah. Hi, doctor. I heard you on other shows, too, today and the past couple of days, and it's very informative. Thank you for taking time with WGN listeners.
Yes.
So my question is, over 65, do I call? I would like to get the vaccine. How do I know when to go? Do I have to wait till Governor Pritzker says something, or do I call my doctor? I'm over 65. So,
yeah. There are three ways to do it. The first way is to go to the state health department website, where they have listed what the order of vaccinations are and where you can go if you want to get vaccinated. So they have that on the Illinois Department of Health. The other thing to do is, yes, call your doctor. Say to your doctor, listen, I want to get the vaccine. Where can I go to get the vaccine? Do you have it? Can you tell me a nearby clinic that has it? And the third thing you can do is call the hospital. Call your nearest hospital and say, listen, I am in an age group where I'm at high risk. I would like to get the vaccine. Are you giving the vaccine? And if you're not, can you tell me the nearest place? Those three options will get you a definitive answer.
Talked to Dr. Ian Smith, and we'll open up the phone lines 312-981-7200. There's more with him next on 720 WGN. All right, Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. We're talking to Dr. Ian Smith of TV's The Doctors. Just switching gears a little bit, Dr. Ian. You know, as we all know, people are trying to deliver on their New Year's resolutions, and within 3 weeks, it's all over. You know that's how it goes every single year. Everybody's going to eat healthier. They're going to exercise. And then we're back to the same old eating habits. So what are the biggest misconceptions that you hear from other people, because you do this every day, who are considering making that transition to a healthier lifestyle?
You know, I wrote Mind Over Weight. It's a very small book. It's only 7 chapters. I want it to be small. I wanted people to be able to get through the book in 2 hours. But I wrote it because we talk so much about diets, and I've written tons of diets. As you know, we've talked about all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't often talk about the mind. And really, when you talk about ground zero for weight loss, it's about what is happening above your neck and between your ears. And you can start a diet and exercise program without really thinking about your mental strategies, and you can do okay. But if you really want to maximize your weight loss, and if you really want it to be sustainable weight loss, you really have to get your mind in the right place. One of the biggest mistakes I see, to be honest with you, and this is going to, like, you're going to say, really? Is that people do not know how to set goals properly. There's a chapter in the book, chapter 2, called The Genius of Goal Setting. And that is that people tend to set unrealistic goals. And when you set an unrealistic goal, what happens is this. You have a goal. I'm going to make this up. I want to lose 7 pounds 2 weeks in a row. And that's unrealistic. And then you lose 4 pounds first week and 4 pounds the next week. You look at it and say, I didn't come close to my goal. I'm a complete failure. And so you think that the program's not working, or that you're not doing well, and you think that, you know what, I'm going to throw this away. This program's not working, so forget it. In reality, had you set the proper goals, which is, by the way, about 1.5 pounds a week on average is good weight loss, if you had set the proper goals, you would have said, my goodness, I'm doing great. This is working for me. I'm going to stick to this. And so when people set unrealistic goals, they end up having this distorted sense of failure, and that failure leads them to falling off the wagon, to quitting, to giving up, and reverting back to bad behaviors.
Yeah, that action plan is absolutely critical. You can't just, you know, slim down on what you're eating and change what you're eating overnight. You have to have a plan. You have to have a meal plan that you go through too. And one of the things too is, you know, you should reward yourself as you go through every part of this journey too. And that doesn't mean cheating on the foods that you were avoiding or the foods that were making you unhealthy. You know, figure out some other rewards for yourself, so when you hit those milestones, you know, you feel some satisfaction.
Dave, there is a mountain of research that has shown that people who are on a weight loss journey, when they have some type of reward system, not something out of whack, like, you know, if I lose 10 pounds, I'm going to buy myself a new car. We're not talking about that kind of, you know, reward system. But when you have a reasonable reward system, and that reward, as you say, is not, I'm going to reward myself by having a food that's definitely not on the program. But when you have good rewards, it's positive reinforcement. And people talk about, well, how do I maintain my motivation? So chapter 1 in my book is, how do you find your motivation, unlocking your motivation? But then the question is, how do you maintain it? Well, one way to maintain motivation is to acknowledge your success and to reward yourself for it, because that begets a greater desire to reach the next benchmark. And so I really believe that people should think about ways. And by the way, this is all part of the action plan. In the book, I say to you, listen, let's build out, you know, a journey. 2 pounds this week, 1 pound next week, 0 pounds the third week, 4 pounds a week. When you do that, then put a little reward next to it. Well, if I do it, I'm going to buy myself, you know, some music. If I get at the end of 4 weeks, I'm down 10 pounds. Hey, I'm going to buy myself a shirt or a pair of sneakers or whatever it is. Do that, and that will get you encouraged to keep going.
I want to get to your novel that you just put out, but I want to ask one more question from one of our texters. Not all carbs are created equal. There's a difference between good carbs and bad carbs, because I have this argument all the time with people is, no, you can still have carbs, you just can't have the ones that aren't good for you.
Dave, I got to tell you, I've had this argument so often. If I had a nickel for it, I'd be a multi-billionaire. Listen, carbs are great for you. Carbs are wonderful. I mean, we can't live without carbs, by the way. We just need carbs. But yes, carbs are not created equal. When you have carbs like vegetables, fiber is a carb, by the way. People don't realize fiber is a carbohydrate. Even fruits. People say, well, but fruits have so much sugar. Yeah, they do have sugar. But don't look at the sugar. Look at what else the sugar comes with. It comes with vitamins, minerals, mm-hmm. and nutrients, and fiber. So I call it the sugar package. So yes, choose better carbs, but you don't have to get rid of carbs altogether. In fact, just so you know, carbohydrates, glucose, is the number one fuel source that our body wants to feed our brain.
Now, you took a break from all this because you do this every single day, and I read your book this week called The Unspoken. Chicago is one of the main characters because you're from here. You live here. It's absolutely a terrific, you know, this is your first book out. It's fantastic. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. It is a lot of fun. It's all about Chicago, and I'm so excited for Chicagoans to read the book because it's our places. It's the North Side, it's South Side, it's West Side, it's on the lake, and people are going to recognize the restaurants. You could make a list of all the restaurants that the characters go eat at, and you're like, Wow, Banderas, you know, Chilango, which is a little place, a street Mexican place I like over the West Loop. But here's the deal. The Unspoken is about a former Chicago police detective who leaves the force because he won't participate in a cover-up of a bad shooting, and he becomes a private investigator in the South Loop, and he takes on very select cases in and around the city. His first case is the case of a very wealthy, missing North Shore girl, and it's fun. Like you said, it's twist and turn. You're guessing what's happening. And Chicago, the city, our city, is a character in the book, and so I'm really excited for people to go to Amazon and check it out. It's already gotten, by the way, option to become a TV series.
Nice. I saw that. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've already written book two, which is the sequel to it.
That's awesome.
The main character's name is Ash Kane. So book two comes out next October. It's called Wolf Point. But start with The Unspoken. I think it's a lot of fun.
Very cool. Dr. Ian Smith, the new book is Mind Over Weight, Curb Cravings, Find Motivation, and Hit Your Numbers in 7 Simple Steps. His new novel is The Unspoken, again, available at Amazon or your local bookseller. You can see Dr. Ian every day on the TV show The Doctors. And for more on Dr. Ian himself, you can visit Dr. Ian Smith. That's Dr. Spell It Out, IanSmith.com. Always a pleasure, my friend, and hope to see you soon when this is all over.
Absolutely, Dave. And please go to my Instagram page at Dr. Ian Smith. Spell the doctor out. Happy New Year to you. And let's not just talk once a year. Let's talk again sometime.
Yeah, let's do it soon. All right. Thanks, Dr. Ian.
Okay.
Take care, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Lisa Gorenson from ABC's The Connor, right after the news on 720 WGN.